discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Pluto.
Love Line, coast to coast.
Well, it really is coast to coast tonight. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Drew is a board certified physician and addiction medicine specialist.
Hey, how
I'm in. Yes.
How was Barbara Streisand?
She, Babs was beautiful tonight.
Really?
Yeah, she was in great form.
That's nice.
I'm out here in New York. I was doing a little man show bit where I was attending the Streisand concert, although I didn't actually get in. But I had a good time anyway. Dr. Drew is back there in Los Angeles, and our guest tonight, is she in the studio, Drew?
She is. She overheard you saying all those nice things about her.
I actually didn't hear very much of it, but I am the Filipino one.
Right. Melissa Howard is our guest tonight. Uh-oh, now I'm coming back in echo.
I hear you. How was your flight over? Any stories?
Nothing good. Just got drunk and passed out. Yeah. Very uneventful.
You put your lovey shades on?
Yes.
Did Jimmy just abuse you for that?
He didn't come with me. Oh, I went solo tonight.
Oh.
I put my big padded leopard pattern eye shade on and dozed off with a nice string of drool between me and the seat next to me. All right, so Melissa Howard is from The Real World. This is one of my favorite shows on MTV. Melissa is the one with the big lips, the short hair, and the scrumptious body. She's very cute, and I guess you'd be kind of the troublemaker this season, wouldn't you say, Melissa?
The troublemaker?
Yeah.
I think I'd be the one that really doesn't put up with, like, the nonsense, you know. I'm not going to sit there and stand by while people say the N-word and whatnot, you know.
right. But
not necessarily the troublemaker. I'm definitely not the laid back one.
No, but I'd say out of the entire cast, you're the one who was in the most controversy, wouldn't you say?
Well, I'd say I have range as a cast member.
This will be a yes, Adam.
Right.
Thank you for asking, Adam. Yes.
She goes from crazy to super crazy. Yeah, but, I mean, that's what they look for, right? I mean, they try to sort of fill all the roles within the house, and I think you had the role of sort of the wild one, right?
Oh, totally. I'm the, you know, the brown firecracker and, you know, the kill two birds with one stone, half black, half Filipino, speak to both audiences kind of character.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, though. You know, I didn't, from looking at you, I didn't get the half black part.
Yeah,
I mean,
nobody ever does.
You look very exotic, but you don't look half black. You look Filipino and something else. What I like to call Johnny Quest villain nationality. Can't quite put your finger on it. Not sure what it is, but it works on you.
Thank you.
And Melissa, there's a great one of the best episodes this year is when you had your geeky ex-boyfriend come in for your birthday. Remember that one? Him and his buddies?
Yeah.
And you got really loaded at your birthday party and got your underpants and danced around?
The birthday episode. I'm trying to suppress that.
Oh, that poor son of a bitch. I felt so horrible. Have you talked to him since then?
Well, he's grown a beard and shaved his head.
Yeah. See, Drew, Melissa had a boyfriend. I don't know how you got hooked up with this guy because it didn't seem like...
No, he's a nice boy.
Well, he's a nice guy, but it didn't seem like your type.
Yeah, but do you think that's coincidence? I always date shy, quiet boys. I'm the one that likes to run things, you know?
Well, you didn't seem that into him when he got out there, though.
That's because he wasn't my boyfriend on the show. I left him, like, we broke up or, like, separated ways long before the show happened.
I see.
But well, editing magic.
Well, he came out, and he came out with a few of his buddies, and it just wasn't a good weekend for him. I kind of felt for the guy.
I'm sure he gets lots of girls now, because it's like, hey, are you the girl that Melissa dumped on The Real World? I mean, that would definitely get some ladies.
No, you don't score for that.
Especially, no, a woman would.
Right, a woman might get some sympathy sex, but not a guy. He just gets beaten up even more.
Yeah.
So you have that to wrestle with when you go to bed tonight. So, Melissa, now you guys are done taping, right?
Yes, thank God Almighty.
And now, how long ago did you finish taping?
We just finished at the end of May.
And what are you on to now?
What am I on to? Hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, what's next? What do you want
to
do?
Oh, it's totally time to reinvent. Like, I'm actually a funny person. Maybe that's not on TV very much because, you know, it's not a sitcom. It's not a comedy. So, you know, we're working on my comedy.
Adam, you've described yourself that way many times.
Yes, I'm not a funny person. Yeah. No, it came across. You definitely had the most personality of anyone in that house.
Thank
that's for
you.
Sure. Yeah, and you seem sort of, I don't know, tailor-made to do something in comedy. I'm not sure what, but you definitely got a ton of personality. So what are you going to do, stand-up or something like that?
Yeah, we're developing that, and I just finished a course in the Groundlings, and I'm hoping to register again for their next session. And it's
who's we when you say we're working on it? You mean like the royal we, or do you have like an entourage?
I just have a nice, happy, and good agent working with me.
Oh, really? So you got an agent out of the deal?
Oh, yeah. I went on the Craig Kilborn show and just, you know, begged for a job, and at the same time, I got an agent. So it's cool.
All right. Well, here you are on the fabulous Love Line. So
I love this show. I'm so happy that I got to do this.
Oh, really? Well, we're glad to have you.
I'm an expert on sex, don't you know? I'm the sexiest wonder, and I know all about it.
I know. You know, for someone who didn't have too much sex, you sure talk a pretty good story on that show. And you spent a fair amount of time in your underpants.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. All right, Drew, you got the calls lined up there?
I do indeed. Let's go to Dave. He's 18. Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, what's up?
Adam?
Yeah.
Let me just first say I love the Man Show.
Thank you.
You remember Boobville, right? You should
sure.
put a bit on the Man Show about Boobville.
Oh. You could actually create it in that format, huh?
Yeah.
Yes. Thanks, Dave. Thank God I have a scratch pad here. I'm going to put that down right now. And
the resurrecting of, the building of.
Drew, you going to talk while I'm talking? It's going to be a long night.
Just go ahead.
All right.
Adam, there's
somebody yelled at me today and said, why are you yelling at Drew all the time? And I said, because he deserves it.
Hey, listen, there are technical aspects of broadcasting from somewhere else, meaning that you, because of the delay, you defer to the person in the main studio.
Shut up, Drew.
I've done this enough times that you got to do that or we will be talking all over each other.
All right, but don't start talking when I'm
I didn't know you were talking.
What do you mean you didn't know I was talking? You can see my mouth moving.
See?
All right. Anyway, Dave, what do you want?
Okay, me and my girlfriend got together a couple months ago. We started having sex, and at first I couldn't come. And then I defeated that problem. And then a couple of nights ago I came too early once. And now when we try to, I just can't get it up. Or I can get it up, I just can't keep it hard.
Well, yeah, so
you're so painfully familiar. Someone please give him an answer so I can know too.
Oh, this has happened to you?
Oh, my gosh, yes. And I always thought it was me, and I have that inadequate girl thing, and I roll over and cry and all that.
Yeah, so this happens all the time with you.
I don't know about all the time. I'm not that skank, but I mean...
Well, not skank. Maybe intimidating.
No.
These guys sort of wilt under pressure.
No. Melissa, your guys are all drunk or high on coke or something, and that's why they have
that's
difficulty, right?
That's the only time
right?
I can get a guy. Definitely.
Dave,
he has to be intoxicated.
Are you on medication?
I was, and I was on Adderall and Ritalin for quite a while, and then I stopped for a few months.
And have you tried resurrecting since then?
Huh? Resurrecting as in?
Your penis.
No.
No.
So this
okay, listen, Dave, here's the deal. You just need to stick with this one chick and work it out. There's no magic pill here.
It all happened while he was on meds.
No. I wasn't on meds when it happened.
You weren't on meds when it happened.
I stopped long before.
Well, did you have this problem prior to this girl?
I actually was a virgin until I met her.
Oh.
And how long have you been with her?
A couple months.
I agree with Adam.
Yeah. Still young, still new. You just work it out. I mean, you've covered every base. You haven't been able to get it up. You couldn't come. You came too quickly.
Right.
You've done everything, but do it right. Your next one's bound to work.
The trifecta. This is Phil. He's 18. Phil?
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Hey, Phil.
Hi. My best friend, he was in college, but then he lost his scholarship. She was forced to join the Navy. But, like, over the summer, he became, like, really good friends with one of my coworkers. And me and her are good friends. And now he's gone, and me and her hang out all the time. And I don't know, like, what I should do, because, I mean, I really like this girl. I mean, she's fine.
What do you...
What's the problem? Is he involved with her?
Right, he's a friendship.
Huh?
He's a friend of hers?
No, they were, like, almost dating, you know?
Almost.
What is that? You're talking all these riddles. What is almost
Jesus
dating mean?
Jesus Christ. Man? Drew and I are almost dating.
In fact, we're sort of past that.
I almost date.
Like, we would have beach parties, and we'd always, like, wake up in the morning, and... They were always, like together, like, next to the fire, you know?
Okay, what has he said about her?
Not much. He doesn't like talking about his girlfriends to all the guys in our league.
Well, so then it's his girlfriend.
Their established boyfriend and girlfriend?
No, they never admit.
Okay, hang up on Phil. Yeah. Hang up on him. I've had enough of his ass.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. All we're trying to figure out, for Christ's sake, is whether his friend was screwing her or hanging out with her.
And if they're not, then she's free game.
Right.
Right.
And if there's no way he could know she's free game. In other words, if he couldn't possibly know that it was a girlfriend, then fine.
Only our callers are that stupid that they can't figure out what we're asking them.
Well, they can't figure out that we need information.
It's the world's most obvious question.
We're mean. Okay.
No, I've had enough of everyone.
I don't know.
Nick, go ahead. Nick. Nick.
Yeah.
20. What's up?
Oh, excuse me. I went to a doctor's office, and a doctor prescribed me with a medicine for a yeast infection.
In the urethra?
Around the tip, around the head.
Okay. Well, there you go. Are you uncircumcised?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a little yeasty on the peckeroo.
And I was wondering if I waited so long that it was actually, if it would travel up the urethra?
No. And what?
And go up in the sperm? Or?
No. Men will harbor yeast in the urethra, but it doesn't become systemic. It's not like doesn't sort of become blossom into a true infection like it would in a woman.
Is this just a topical cream he told you to rub on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you masturbate when you rub that on?
No.
Ew.
No.
Well, for the sake of your girlfriend, use condoms because you could pass it on to her, and then a girl yeast infection is just unbelievably not handleable.
It's very true.
She probably gave it to him in the first place.
It could be. Vince, he's non-circumcised. He could have it for a long time.
Hello?
Vince, 19.
Yeah, I overdosed on ecstasy about 1 year ago, and it was while I was taking dextromethorphine as well. And I've been completely clean now for all the time after that, but I guess as recently as about 2 months after that, several times a week, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I'd be completely paralyzed.
You'd be locked in. You couldn't quite wake up from your sleep.
You can't move a muscle. Could not move a muscle.
Yeah.
Sometimes my body would actually shake, and right. I'd actually have to force myself to breathe. It seemed like my breathing would not. Couldn't breathe. The voluntary action was gone. I had to.
There are all kinds of interesting syndromes like this associated with the injury of ecstasy. I've seen people get locked in like that, and even when they're awake, they stay locked in.
Yeah, that happens a lot. Sometimes, even after I'm completely awake, I feel like I'm in almost deep hypnosis.
Well, again, this drug injures the limbic areas of the brain, and the larger the dose, the more severe the injury tends to be.
And how much did you take?
Around 20 tablets.
Oh boy.
Jeez, what are you trying to do, smuggle it over the border or something? What, did the condom you had in your ass break? I mean, 20? What do you need 20 for?
Actually, I'd been taking it about every other day for a couple years before that, and I just worked up to that point where in order to get the feeling, I had to take that much.
All right, well, this is not the result of that exposure. This is the result of the cumulative effect of the period of time you were using this drug.
Okay.
And you're going to be very, very depressed. Forever, frankly.
Really?
Now he's really going to be depressed.
No, it's just the nature of the bile. Do you have memory problems, too?
Yeah, it's very bad short-term memory.
Yeah, memory and depression and panic. You having panic or anxiety?
Ever since then, I've had very bad panic disorder. They have me on Klonopin.
Right, but does the doctor know that this is where this started with the ecstasy?
I've explained it to them, and they really, every time I've mentioned this problem, they really don't have an answer for me.
Well, I tell you what, if you go on the web, check out the National Institute of Health, Dr. Alan Leshner, who is Mr. Ecstasy. I actually gave a presentation with him in Washington, and it's well documented, all this stuff. And you should be treated by a doctor that's used to treating the injury associated with ecstasy, because it's severe. It is a severe injury, and it can be treated, though.
Is he going to have to take drugs for the rest of his
absolutely.
Life?
Absolutely.
Do his friends call him Mr. Ecstasy?
Yeah.
All right. And you're Mrs. Ecstasy, right?
I'm Lord Ecstasy.
King of Ecstasy, that's right. 20 tablets.
Yeah. I guess what I'm concerned about is I feel very, very close to death when this is actually happening.
No. That I know of nothing like that. It's really more of a seizure phenomenon than anything. And it is something you really do need to see a psychiatrist or a neurologist that's used to seeing this injury.
Because okay. It's not what you're describing. I've seen many times.
I felt like I was pretty alone when I came to this.
Well, it's an unfortunate thing because it's a real injury, but it is also treatable.
Okay. Well, okay. Thanks a lot.
All right, pal.
All right, Vince. Take care of yourself.
The memory thing associated with this is what you can't treat, and that's the part that people find very frustrating. I'm depressed.
Yeah. Well, Jesus Christ, the guy's doing a hit every other day, and if he says every other day, it might be 5 days a week, and then 20 hits just to get off.
You know, if he gets in touch with those guys at National Institute of Health, they're going to want to study him. They're going to want to do PET scans and things. Sid is 15. Sid.
Hello.
Hey, Sid.
I just have a question. I have problems staying at, you know, people's bodily parts. I'll be, you know.
Adam, this is the Corolla syndrome, isn't it?
Excuse me.
Well, you stare at body parts?
What body parts?
I'll just stare at, like, a girl's butt, and I feel like a pervert, you know? And they see me, and they're like, oh, what's his problem?
How old are you?
I'm 15.
That's so normal, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Butts and boobs and whatnot.
I'm going to stare at this chick's boobs.
Anderson, how'd you come up with that? That was good.
I don't know. He's not doing enough accent, Anderson. His memory's too good.
Hey, Pops, it's E.
I mean, E. Hey, listen.
Okay.
What are you, what were you, the king of E?
Lord Ecstasy.
I'm telling you, we went over this the other night.
I know that
people call it X.
Yeah.
How dare you accuse me of not being hip.
Hey, you know what?
Sid's a jerk. Forget Sid. What is he saying? He's 15. He stares at asses. Who cares? Stop it. Or put those cop sunglasses on. That's what I do.
This is Darcy, 17.
Yes, first I just want to say, Dr. Drew, I love it when you're on Big Brother.
Oh, thanks, Darcy.
And I hope that Eddie wins.
I do, too.
Okay.
That was my swan song yesterday. I'm just going to sort of wave goodbye tomorrow. But
yeah.
It'll be interesting. All 10 of the housemates are coming back tomorrow.
That's good. My question is...
She's very interested in this.
You know what's funny about our callers? Even when they try to pay a compliment, they're only so interested.
Yeah, I know, it's not nice.
Hey, I love you on Big Brother. I hope Eddie wins. Yeah, me too. You know, tomorrow night will be, anyway.
Sorry. Okay, my question is, on my chest, I have, like, pimples, or, like, they're black. I don't know if they're black cuts or not, but I've tried everything, and they won't go away.
Do you have them on your face, too?
No.
Just your chest?
Yeah, just my chest. And I've tried everything. I've tried lotions. I've tried different body washes and soaps and things, and it doesn't go away.
Have you seen a dermatologist?
Yeah, and they said they don't know what... They told me to do the exact same thing that I tried.
Huh. They're not pimples?
No.
Are they freckle-looking?
Not really.
What color is your skin?
I'm pale. Like white.
Can you pop them? Can you squeeze them out?
Is it a pore?
Some I can. I don't know what it's caused from, though. And it's underneath my breast as well.
Ooh. That's a turn on, and
they're not that noticeable.
Yeah, no, you don't get to them. But listen, you know, like when you get a blackhead on your nose or something, you can kind of push it out.
It's kind of like that, yeah. But not all of them. Some of them are just like hard.
What about using some of that scrub, like that apricot shell scrub or something?
I've tried all of that.
That might irritate it. You should use something all natural.
Did you see a dermatologist?
Where the hell does apricot shell come from? The lab?
Yeah, but if it's in that peach bottle, then that has all the chemicals.
Oh, that's fine. Oh, hush. It's just a bunch of pumice. You just rub it on. There's a bunch of shells. You get a loofah and rub on it with that, and then put some of that Oxy-10 on there.
But she said it doesn't work.
Well, if nothing works, then what are we talking about?
Darcy?
There's nothing she can do.
Darcy.
Yes.
You need something that dissolves Comedo, okay?
Okay.
Comedo dissolving. And I believe the Retin-A would be probably one of the more likely things to do that.
What's Comedo?
Comedo is the toothpaste-like stuff that comes out of there when you squeeze.
Why do you need something that dissolves that?
Because it's stuck in there. It won't come out.
And that forms the blackhead?
Right. The blackhead is just the top part of the Comedo.
Oh, I thought it was sebum.
Sebum is the production, what's produced from the gland. The Comedo is just considered the overall little plug. You know, the vitamin A type drugs like Retin-A what am I thinking of? Accutane. Did you see a dermatologist?
Yeah, they told me that. It was just like blackheads, and I don't have acne on my face or any place else.
All right, well, ask them about things to dissolve. Go back, because there should be lots of things that you can
even get some Retin-A.
Yeah.
And listen, you know, these dermatologists, they are the worst the doctor world has to offer, Drew. They really are. I went to a dermatologist once because I have that neck rash.
Yeah.
The guy told me to grow a beard, charged me $50, and told me to go home. What the hell is that? Do you know what I'm saying? Isn't this a science? Do you know what I mean?
So you instead went and got laser.
Well, this is 10 years ago. The point is if someone comes in with a problem, shouldn't they be trying to help them?
Ooh. Isn't it a question for after the break? It's a pharmacist on the line who wants to know if it's okay to sell needles to addicts.
That's solid, Drew.
That's interesting. All right, you want to hear the Elmer whose mom just died and his dad is in prison for rape?
No. Okay. What else do we have to choose from?
13-year-old is starting having sex with a 42-year-old neighbor.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, that sounds good. Let's talk to the 13-year-old, and then we'll go to the pharmacist, and then we'll go to the incarcerated.
All right.
All right.
In the meantime,
we'll take ourselves a little break. Melissa Howard is our guest tonight. She's from The Real World, the New Orleans edition, and we'll be back after this. Hey, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is the docile Dr. Drew over there.
Wait, you know, what
phone
do you
number.
Hey, hold on a second. We went through
We went through three times the number of calls in that 20 minutes than we normally do in an hour.
You mailed it in tonight, Drew.
What? Oh, give me a break.
There you go. There's a little life out of you. That's what I was trying to get. Sure, we go through 1,000 calls a night if we didn't care, but I care. That's my problem.
Please.
I care too much.
Okay.
You know what else, Drew? I'm in love
with the notion
of being in love. Yeah.
Melissa, can you imagine that? Doesn't he seem like that kind of guy?
I'm that way, too.
Yeah.
Melissa Howard is our guest tonight. She's from the Real World, the latest one, the New Orleans edition. She's the one who's in her underpants up on stage, in her underpants in the bathtub. She's in her underpants.
In the bathtub? They didn't air that footage.
Oh, I saw that. Oh, yes, I did. What do you mean they didn't air it?
No, there was a time where I was in the bathtub in my panties.
That's right.
Screaming about Mr. Bubble, but that never made TV.
Oh, yes, it did. You were drunk and you forgot about it, but I saw that. What do you think? I'm in some sort of a MTV screening room or something watching outtakes? Absolutely not. That was on TV. That was for God, your parents, and everyone to see. Now, what happened? Quiet down over there, Drew. What happened to the good looking guy? What's his name?
Who's the one, the gay one or the regular one?
The regular.
Oh my gosh.
You mean the normal one?
The heterosexual or the homosexual?
The hetero.
Jamie. He's a good kid. I love him.
That's the one you like, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what happened with him?
Well, look at the show. You've got this black guy who's promiscuous and a player. I'm not going to go for that. You've got this gay guy who's gorgeous, but he's gay, so what's the point in that? And then you've got this, you know, this cute, you know, kind of alternative guy who's like hyper-Catholic and he's a virgin. And he's probably never, like, even thought about vaginas, so I'm not going to go for that. And what's left is Jamie.
Right. Yeah, you guys had a little chemistry, but I don't know, it kind of faded. What's up?
I don't know. Talk to the editors.
Did it ever work out?
No, we're just really awesome, very good friends.
I see. All right, he broke your heart?
Oh, totally. It's broken every day.
Yeah, you're into him. I was starting to get into him after a while.
He's hot.
All right. Who are we talking to, Drew?
Colleen. She's 15. Colleen?
Hi.
What's
okay,
up?
When I was 11 years old, I moved to San Francisco, and I moved next door to this guy, and he became like a family friend, and I started to trust him. And when I was 13 years old, we started having sex, and it was consensual. And then it went on for 3 years.
Colleen, there's no such thing as consensual sex between a 13-year-old and a 42-year-old.
Well, yeah.
Let me put it this way. Would there be consensual sex between somebody your age, 15, and like a 12-year-old?
No.
Okay. Now imagine a 42-year-old and a 12-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, it was consensual in the sense that he didn't pull a stiletto on you.
Right.
Yeah.
But other than that. And you said it went on for 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you were 13 and you're 15 now.
That would make you 16.
Well, I mean.
But it ended last summer.
Yeah, no, it ended in July, yeah.
So it just ended.
Yeah.
Where's your mom in all of this?
Well, she's here. She supports me and all. But
the real question is, where's Dad?
Oh, where's Dad? Dad's still here. Dad's in the picture still.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And the family trusted this 42-year-old man to come in and have sex with their child?
Well, they didn't know it was happening, of course.
Your dad isn't checked out in some way?
Hmm?
Your dad is not checked out in some way?
What do you mean? No.
Alcoholic something?
Well, he's an alcoholic.
All right, that's more like it.
There we go. Now it's making sense. And how often did you have sex with this 42-year-old guy?
3 or 4 times a week.
Mm. Holy Christ. And what, now, was he married or did he have anybody?
No, not that I knew of.
You gotta
probably
tell
other girls, but...
I wish you would tell your parents about this. Or could you? Can you tell your parents about this?
They know.
They know?
Yeah.
She said they're supportive.
No, she didn't mean it that way. They weren't supportive about the relationship, were they?
No, they didn't know about it.
Right.
Do they, but they know now.
Yeah, they know now.
How'd they find out?
Well, he was arrested.
Oh, good.
So
how did he get arrested?
We were caught together.
Cool.
Oh, where were you?
In his car.
Oh.
And is that where you normally did it?
No. But that's where we were that day.
Okay. Hey, Colleen?
Yeah.
Here's how this conversation's going to work from this point on.
Okay.
I'm going to ask questions, and then you're going to keep going and kind of fill things in for us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when we ask how he got caught, and you say he was arrested, you then keep going and talk about how it was when you guys were together and that kind of stuff, right?
Oh, okay.
All right. So you guys had sex where most of the time?
In his house.
And so you just go over to his house like 3 days a week?
Yeah.
So what would you tell your parents when you were going to his house?
Hold on.
Uh-oh. Oh, that's well. Well, they were friends. He was a friend of the family, so they didn't suspect anything.
Yeah, so they didn't.
They didn't question it.
Yeah.
All right, now,
did
he
they
got,
think you guys were playing Monopoly or something? What?
I guess. I don't know.
Well, they're bad parents, and Dad's more into the bottle than he is to Colleen, so he's out of it.
Right.
And that's where she went for attention.
Exactly.
And he got arrested, and they arrested him right there on the spot?
Yeah, they did, because I was,
and,
cause
I
you're,
was sitting on top of his lap, so they suspected something.
And they asked to see ID and how old you were and all that stuff?
Yeah. And they looked up his record, and he, I guess, had other priors.
Surprise.
And so is he in jail now?
Yeah, he is.
Hallelujah. Well, one story ends satisfactorily.
How long is he going to be in there?
Well, see, I don't know. See, my question is, like...
Well, what do you mean you don't know? How long's he in for?
Well, we go to trial on November 7th, because yesterday was his plea. The, well, not guilty,
that's
what he said.
So are you still in a relationship with this man?
What?
Are you still, like, trying to forego a relationship with this
man?
Well,
they have conjugal visits.
Ew.
What's your question, Colleen?
Okay, I heard that if I say something that I left out of my of what the cops questioned me about,
deposition,
you know,
yeah.
If I leave something out or if I forget to say something, you know that he can walk. Is that true?
Yeah, if you forget to say that you were having sex with him.
Okay, okay.
You're not going to forget that, are you?
No.
Do you want to see him go to jail?
Yeah, I do now.
Good.
Why do you now?
She found out there are other girls.
Yeah, I found out there were other girls, and I just came to a realization.
Right. Okay, so you know he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so all you got to do is get up there and tell the truth.
Okay.
And are you getting some treatment for this?
Yeah, I am.
All right, good. That's the important thing. Just take care of yourself and get this thing behind you.
Oh Jesus Christ. And you know what drives me nuts? They're guys who sold a couple of dime bags at a Grateful Dead concert that are rotting in prison. Mm. And guys like this are getting, you know, suspended sentences and probation and slaps on the wrist.
He's pleading not
guilty.
Drives
me insane.
He's pleading not guilty.
Well, yeah, everyone pleads not guilty.
Oh.
Well, what do you want him to do?
No contest.
All right.
You found him having sex with a 14-year-old, for God's sakes. Sheila.
Well, she looked 15 and a half.
Sheila.
Hi. Thank you. Well, Adam, speaking of drugs, I am a pharmacist, like your Scott call screener mentioned. I would like to say I love the Man Show. And
thank you.
This program should be required listening for all healthcare professionals.
God bless you.
So much.
Thank you, Sheila.
Okay, my question...
Sheila, hold on a second. You're not from the Southern California, Los Angeles area, are you?
No, I'm not.
Yeah. No, of course you're not. You know how I know that?
Why?
Because you're a pharmacist and you speak English.
I speak English.
Yes, they do not let people who speak English become pharmacists in the Los Angeles area.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something, Adam. If I moved to the Los Angeles area, my salary would increase.
No.
Double.
You're kidding? You wouldn't work. You'd have to drive a truck or a forklift. You could not find work as a pharmacist, not in the Los Angeles area.
Actually, to the contrary. Anyway, what my question is...
She misses your point. I think she's not lived here to appreciate what you're saying.
All right.
You're right. That's true.
I'll be appreciated long after I'm dead. Go ahead.
Oh, I hope that's a long time from now. What my question is, Dr. Drew, as you probably well know, most drugs of abuse come from me and my colleagues. Mainly, most of the insulin syringes I sell, I know I'm selling to addicts, to users.
Wow.
And I always ponder, you know, to myself, the ethical dilemma that I feel, is it better to sell these things and prevent the spread of AIDS, or am I selling them to support people's habits?
Well,
and
here's how I look at it, is I don't have any problem with the distribution of sterile needles. I agree with the idea that you at least try to prevent the spread of infectious disease. However, one of the ways that you help these people keep them from dying of their disease is to create consequences. So if, I imagine most of them are forging the prescriptions, so if you can call the DEA or whoever you would contact
I'm sorry, in Utah where I'm from, needles do not require a prescription.
Oh, they just come and get them.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, then that's fine. I don't think you're in a position to precipitate any consequence that would help them come to treatment. Really, you're doing a service preventing the spread of disease. And that's
how
fine.
Much? What's a syringe run these days?
A 10-pack will go for anywhere from $4 to $7.
10-pack. Well, that's not bad. I can get them for $3.50, but that's not bad for Utah. And
you just told me you were selling them on the street for $10.
Oh, well, Drew, I got to turn them over. Hello, I got to pay rent. Jesus Christ. I told you not to talk about that.
Thanks, Adam.
Yeah. Now listen, you know these people are junkies by, track marks or their build or their demeanor, or you can just tell.
Right, exactly. All of the above.
Do you ever think about talking to them, confronting them, and saying, listen, I know what you're using this for? Think about...
I occasionally have, but of course, they're very abrupt. Here's my money. I want my syringes. They're not
ready.
In a mode to talk.
Yeah, they're not ready. And you keep some literature up there about recovery or NA or something. Just to keep them exposed to that stuff. And that's about all you can
idea.
Do. All right?
Okay, well, thank you so
all right,
much.
Sheila.
If I could ever attend a conference or a seminar that you do, I would love to do it. Any place where I could find some information where, on the web or anywhere?
Where I'm going to be speaking?
Yeah, any engagements or seminars or whatever.
At drdrew.com they should be posting sort of appearances, that sort of thing, under, I don't know what the title is, but there's a place on the site.
Okay? He's going to be at a Red Lobster in La Habra, I think, coming up next month on the 22nd. You're opening a salad bar over there, Drew, is that true?
La Habra?
Yeah.
La Habra?
La Habra.
Ah.
La Habra? La Habra? All right, who cares? Thanks for crapping all over that one, Drew.
Chase, 21. Adam, you're barely checked in tonight.
Shut up a little bit.
I know it's 3 in the morning there in New York, but come
how
on.
How dare you?
And by the way, I'm enjoying the fact that you're going to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning to catch an airplane.
Well, the joke's on you because I'm going to sleep for an hour and a half. First, I got to sell some needles out on the street. Who's on?
Chase.
Hey, long-time listener, six-time caller.
Six-time caller.
Told me I needed a T-shirt last time I told you that. Anyhow, what's up, guys?
Right. How old are you, Chase? Drew, start spitting
21,
out
21, I said it.
No, 21. You didn't.
Chase, 21.
Basically, okay, Sunday night, I had a couple of friends come over, two of my friends brought girlfriends, and they brought a friend, it was a guy for me, I guess. Anyhow, I've been basically abstaining for about a year. And in April, I kind of went on this little spree, I guess, and I'm basically, after I'm with someone, I guess, after I'm with a guy, I really realize, I don't know, it's almost a feeling of, like, maybe I shouldn't be doing this, or maybe it's just, like, not my thing anymore, or it's sometimes afterwards and sometimes during, so it's separate from a guilt feeling or anything like that.
Didn't you tell us a story about having been abused or something funny? Didn't something happen to you when...
Did I?
Oh, it was a laugh out loud story. I think your uncle raped you or something?
No, I had some sexual abuse, but I'd never really talked about it on the show, though.
When was that? How old were you?
Well, one time I was 15. I know you guys always say that it always happens before that. And lately, in the past maybe year and a half, I've been thinking about, I've had like little memories of like little stuff, but I can't like place a person to it or anything.
How old do you think you were?
Somewhere between probably 3 and 6.
All right, so maybe that set you up. Maybe you're sort of coming to terms with that in some way. Maybe it's really not a sort of important force in your sexual identity, and you're ambivalent about who you are.
Well, let me ask you this, Drew.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about guys and women, but guys a lot of the time, they get tampered with sexually by a male at a young age, and then they become either bisexual or homosexual later on in life, magically. But to me, that's not as organic as the ones that knew they were gay from the word go.
Oh, right, absolutely.
And maybe with Chase, he was tampered with a little bit, but maybe not enough. And maybe it sent him down that path, but he doesn't have enough momentum to make it a life path for it.
Remember when I said that maybe he's not an important force in his sexual identity? And I said what you said in 14 sentences in about one sentence.
Yeah, so. But it was it was confusing the way you couched it.
I see. So, Chase, I would suggest that...
Chase, you didn't know what Drew was talking about, did you?
Of course you did.
Actually, I do. I do. I'm Drew.com also, love it. But the only thing is I've only been with the girl once, and that was probably like 3 years ago.
I just think you need therapy to figure out who the hell you are. You may be gay, you may not be gay, but you got to figure that out. And that's not going to happen in life. You really need some time with a therapist to figure that one out, I think.
Drew, how much work did it take for you to realize you were gay? I mean, how many sessions?
Years.
So you're on the couch for years before it really set in?
Before it even occurred to me.
I see. Are you ready to take a break here,
yes,
Drew?
Yes, indeed I am.
You're gay.
Melissa,
yeah.
Melissa Howard is our guest tonight. She's from the Real World, New Orleans edition. When is this show on? Because it's on Sunday nights, right?
Tuesday nights at 10.
I mean, Tuesday nights at 10. Well, I mean, here's the deal with MTV. I see the show all the time, and I never know when it's on because it's on all different times. And maybe I'm catching the rerun.
Yeah, they rerun it a lot.
Right, but the first run is Tuesdays, 10 o'clock, MTV.
Yeah, get a brand new one.
We'll take ourselves a little break. Who are we going to talk to when we come back?
I'm waiting for some calls to come through. Oh, wait, here we go. Here's BJ. this has got to be BS. A friend was visiting him, and he started masturbating on his couch. Is that normal?
Yeah.
Do you want a blowjob or do you want a girlfriend?
It is at my house. We'll take a break. We'll be back after this. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Melissa Howard is our guest tonight. She's from the Real World. Hey, Melissa. MTV. Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock. You know, Drew?
Yeah.
I'm getting an ass full of these PSAs over here because I'm just sitting here with the headphones on with nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't heard them in a while.
Great.
You know what I just heard? I heard the two old Jewish guys complaining about drinking water.
Water supply, yeah.
Yeah, the water supply. We all know how bad that's going.
I mean,
how bad could it be? I mean, I shower. Forget about it. So, you know, I just realized what they do with all these things, whether it's secondhand smoke or bad drinking water. Here's what they love to do. It's all semantics. They take the, they say 5.8 million kids died last year from drinking unsafe drinking water. And then they go, keep our rivers and our lakes clean.
Right.
It ain't ours. How many kids you figure kicked off in the United States from drinking bad water?
10.
Yeah. Okay, so 5.8 million? Yeah. Okay, that's in Bangladesh.
Right, exactly.
Right? Okay, absolutely. So here's my point. Don't say our. Say there. That's fine.
Or the world's water.
Say the world's. Don't say ours. And don't say 5.8 million and then our after it, because it really makes us think that 5.8 million Americans died. And last of all, I forgot my train of thought.
Oh,
I'm just pissed off, Drew. Play that thing. Shut up and play that thing. Anderson, do you have that thing? These old Jews drive me nuts.
He's not listening to you. Are you kidding?
Oh, is he smoking?
What am I going to search through the whole CD?
Yeah, you know what they ought to do, Drew? They ought to play these things in different countries and leave this country out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
5.8 million.
All right, so here's BJ. He's 18.
Where do you keep your wallet?
My hip.
Up your ass, you mutt!
Look.
BJ?
It's VJ, not BJ.
It's VJ.
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
And second of all, this isn't BS. I wish it was.
Okay.
But, yeah, I live in a dorm. I go to U of I, and my friends came down to visit me, two of them.
Now, U of I is Illinois, yeah, Idaho, Illinois. Indiana. Where?
Illinois.
Okay.
And they came down to visit me. We went out. We, you know, we got really drunk or whatever. We came back, and I went to sleep, and my two friends were sleeping in the family room in my apartment. And I woke up at, like, 7 o'clock with, like, a big headache, and I go in, and one of my friends is outside on the porch, and another friend is jacking off, eating pizza, and watching porn.
Yeah. Welcome to college.
He's awesome. Keep him.
So, I mean, I didn't get a clear look at him because I didn't have my glasses on, thank God, but I was wondering why he would do something like that. I asked him about it later, and he's just like...
It's because you put the VCR in that room.
What?
Yeah.
Adam, explain.
Okay. He's drunk. He's college age. He jacks off every night before he goes to bed. And this night, he happened to be in your house.
He was in the designated jack room, right?
Right, that's where the VCR is.
Yeah, it's a family room, though. I mean, anyone could have walked in on him, which someone did.
Well, wait, what do you mean family room?
Well, like a living area.
What family do you have?
It's an apartment.
You said he was eating pizza, watching porn, and jacking off?
Right.
That's the hat trick.
That's so normal. It's like scripted.
Yeah, it's a trifecta. That's fine. Hey, why are you so prude, VJ?
Why am I so prude?
Yeah.
It's a nasty thing. I don't want to wake up to a...
Yes, agreed. But put the VCR in the bathroom.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, when you have your drunken buddies crash out on your sofa, that's what happens.
I think they'd be more prudent than that.
No.
He didn't ask you to join him, so I think things are cool.
All right.
Yeah, leave the guy alone.
All right.
Well, don't, maybe not invite him back to stay in the same living space with you. He obviously sort of spreads out.
Well, this is just a buddy of his, right? It's not his roommate.
Yeah, well, it could, but, you know, don't choose him for a roommate.
Oh, my God. We would have beat VJ up in my day.
Oh, boy.
We'd have labeled him a heretic.
Jeremy, 19.
Yeah, I got a question. My girlfriend takes birth control, the ortho tricycline.
Good.
And I heard that from a friend, if you take it for more than 5 years, like in your whole entire life, can you get like some kind of disease or something?
No. In fact, lower incidence of endometrial cancer, ovarian cancers, lesser incidence of the complications of sexually transmitted diseases, there appears to be no significant risks.
Okay.
All so benefits.
No matter how many years she takes it?
I don't know if I can say that with accuracy, but that five-year business appears to be inaccurate.
Well, don't scare
what
the guy.
What about
the
varicose veins?
What about them?
Don't you get those in your legs and
arms? No.
Okay.
No. That would be
on the right track.
We're really talking, I mean, you're talking about like 20 years of taking it through,
I mean,
right?
People in their 30s who smoke ought to not do it. People with migraines ought to not stay on it. But for the most part, women of childbearing age, if you are on it during your childbearing years, it seems to have no risk and maybe some significant benefits.
Okay. All right, thanks a lot.
The risk, let's put it this way, the risk of pregnancy is vastly greater than the risk of taking the pill.
Well, 5.8 million people died giving birth last year.
Before the turn of the century, 20% of women would die in childbirth.
Oh, those were the days.
That's where the weaker sex thing came into being. What's up, Stephanie? 23.
Hi. I had a question, or actually I was just looking for some advice about my roommate. She is bipolar, and she also seems to have a drinking problem as well as being addicted to marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just getting really, really bad lately.
Is she seeing a psychiatrist regularly?
No.
Well...
She was, and he put her on a whole slew of medication, which I don't understand because he knows about her drug addiction.
Well, but if she's bipolar, she has to be on medicines.
Right.
All right. Stephanie.
Yeah.
Do you care about her?
Yeah, she's a very, very good friend of mine.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd say you cut your losses and get out of there.
Well, I'm planning on moving in January anyways, but it's just in the meantime, I want to do something for her and
well, then call the people that have been taking care of her and see. I mean, this, you've never seen a bipolar go off, and it's a sight to behold.
I know. I'm worried, and it's affecting my life.
It's dangerous. I'm telling you, people die. This is a potentially fatal condition. So
So do you think I should confront her?
No, I think you ought to tell her to get back to her caretakers and call them if she won't.
Okay.
You're not going to be able to do anything, Stephanie. What are you going to do? This woman's got three different diagnoses, and each of which are terribly complex and dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right?
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
We got to wrap up, Adam.
All right. Who are we going to talk to when we come back, Drew?
We will talk to Antoinette, where she goes, she's 20, she goes through phases where she cannot deal with sex at all.
Fantastic. Our guest tonight is Melissa Howard from MTV's Real World. We'll take a little break, and we'll come back with Antoinette after this. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Melissa Howard is our guest tonight. She's from the Real World, the MTV's New Orleans edition. And what is this? Melissa, is this number six?
Number nine.
Oh my God. Number nine?
We see you don't watch the show.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. Let's see. They started New York.
Yep.
And then they went to San Francisco. And then they went to Los Angeles, and they went to Miami, and they went to Hawaii, and they went to Seattle.
London. Boston.
Oh, London. Oh, Boston. Yeah, and the fire station, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. I don't think I was on board with that one. I didn't get too into that one. Yeah, I forgot all about it. And now number nine in New Orleans. That house is amazing.
It is. It's a cute little set. It lasted for about 5 months.
Did you like it there?
It was nice.
How do they do that? Is that someone's house that they take over?
They rented it from somebody. Two guys who now are probably going to renovate it and make crazy loot off of it.
You mean Real World Museum?
Rent it out as the Real World house?
Yeah. And now they took it back. I think they're changing it. Maybe it'll be a bed and a breakfast now. Who knows?
And does MTV go in there and totally transform it, or
yep.
is
so I mean, like the, there's no ceiling? It's all wires and microphones and cameras and lights.
And now, I mean, I know it's a really bitchin' place to live, but you don't have your privacy and you have roommates and everything. Are you happier now out on your own?
Oh, I'll never have a roommate again. Never.
Oh, really?
I'm paranoid. Like, street lights come on, and I think it's like the guy with the big Keno light jumping out to get me. I freak out. It's crazy.
How old were you when the first one? Did you watch the first one when it was in New York years ago?
Yeah. A lot of cast members, they'll be like, oh, I don't watch the show. I want to get on the show and change the world perception of X, Y, and Z. Oh, whatever. You watch the show. Why would you try out? Oh, yeah, I love the show. It's good.
But, I mean, overall, how was your experience? Would you do it again?
I have to see the rest of the season. At this point, we're doing okay. Asked me like 4, 5, 6 episodes ago. Oh, never.
Why? Because the way they edited things?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so much went on in that house. And for a while, you know, you feel like you're the only one who's being exploited. And so you hold resentment towards your roommates for like your story being on over and over and over again. And, I mean, it's 1/220th of who I am.
But do you feel like, and do other cast members feel like, that they sort of twist the truth a little bit in the editing process?
Well, I think some of us get the shaft in editing, and others are, you know, treated very well.
But this is the Big Brother people say the exact same thing. Yet when you talk to the housemates about the perceptions, their perceptions of the people who are claiming that they've been edited strangely, that they come back and say, look, that's how you behaved. That's what you did. And they're just showing what you did.
I know, but it's a 22-minute show, and sometimes the show will be like 15 minutes of Melissa's nervous breakdown. I think if it's 22 minutes, let's have 3 minutes of this guy, 3 minutes of this girl.
That's boring
so
TV.
You think that they sort of pick a theme, and it could be Melissa.
Oh, I'm Melissa, the biracial drama queen.
Right, right. And so
I mean, it works, though. It's funny sometimes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, let's move on to someone else now. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, you got to keep quiet then.
Yeah, it's very simple. Yeah, it's very simple. If you don't, the drama is what they're looking for. And if you provide the drama, that's what they're going to show.
All right.
It's a simple equation.
There we go.
Antoinette, 20.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
I just want to say, Melissa, I love you.
Thank you.
I've been watching, like, since the very first one in New York, and finally there's a Filipino in there.
Ruthie was Filipino. She was part Filipino.
Yeah.
Chicken. Oh, Ruthie from Hawaii?
Yeah.
Kind of like partly, but she seemed more Hawaiian to me. But anyways, I have this question that I go through phases sometimes where I don't want to have sex with my boyfriend. And we've been together for 3.5 years, and it's been going on for probably about 6 months.
Wait, you don't go through phases. You've just shut down over the last 6 months.
No, there'll be times where I do, and there was one point for maybe 2 months where I just didn't want to. And, like, he'd want to, and I'd be like, no. And then I just feel really bad, then I would just give in.
Are you on any medication?
No, I'm not.
Are you on the pill?
Yeah, I'm on the pill.
Have you tried changing pills?
No, I've been on the same one for about a year.
Well, they can shut your libido down sometimes.
See, the weird thing is, when we first started going out, it was fine, and I was actually even involved with other people, but not like had penetration or anything. This was my first boyfriend that I actually had penetration with, and I was kind of aroused a lot and kind of sexually involved. But with my boyfriend now, we've been going out for 3.5 years. It's kind of like.
Well, here's the deal. I've explained to you that it could be the pill. Did you hear me say that?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one possibility. Yet you keep coming back to, we've been going out for 3 years, 3 years, 3 years.
Maybe the relationship is failing.
Precisely. Why are you still with him?
Oh, no. I mean, it's great.
It couldn't be better.
We're totally happy and everything, but it's just, there was a time where I was kind of not into having sex.
All right, hold on. Pot her down, Drew.
Yeah.
You're going to do a little love line recreation.
Yeah.
I mean, I've enjoyed penetration before, but we've been together for 3.5 years, and it's just not... What? No, it's great. It's great. No, no, no.
Wonderful.
Great.
We're
wonderful.
Happy.
It's magic. It's the thing they write songs about. How old was Antoinette?
20.
Yeah, okay. So you hooked up at 16 and change, or 17 and change. You've been together. That's a long time. That 3.5 years.
Very hard to be objective about that. I mean, you can't even imagine me without him. I'm sure.
We were together when I started. When I was 17, he was 18.
Yeah.
And now we were together. I'm 20. He's 21. And
well, what do you think it is?
I don't know. I mean, there'll be one day where I don't really want to, and it's been I didn't want to for a month, and then now I'm like, I don't want. This relationship to go bad. I gotta fix something. I don't know.
Well, look, if it's not the pill, we're gonna tell you what it is.
Okay.
Go ahead, Melissa.
Well, maybe you're just not into him that way anymore. But also, I want to make this point: like, if you don't feel like it, why feel abnormal about that? You just don't feel like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she's 20.
That doesn't mean she has to be a humping machine.
not a humping machine, but she's got to peel a hump off every once in a while.
If 20-year-olds that are not aroused after 2 months, that's not normal. That's something. It's something. Now, they may choose not to have sex. You know, she may say, well, I'm into it, but I'm making a choice not to. She's like, I'm not into it. I am not. Just, don't want it. That's not
right.
Normal.
Maybe the sexual attraction of the relationship is just gone.
But
maybe
that happens when
toys or something.
Nah, this is when the emotional piece is
there. Well, there's just
there.
The times I just don't want to. Like, I don't want to do it today, you know? And it's like... I just don't feel like it today.
Or, is it him, like, looking at him? What is it?
I don't know. It's just, I mean, I'm really attracted to him, but it's just, there because I just don't really want to have sex.
Yeah. Well, if you're not open to considering this relationship, perhaps not quite what you think it is, that emotionally maybe you're not into it as much as you were, and maybe you're, as you've grown up, it's time for you to explore other horizons, to figure out who you are, to get out of this for a while. If you're not open to that, well, then you're going to stay as you are.
Well, we're open to having open relationships.
No, not open. Oh boy, that's the last nail in the coffin right there.
Hey, Antoinette, were you anyone ever monkey with you?
Monkey?
You get raped or sexually abused?
No.
No.
This is the other end of the spectrum.
Nothing traumatic happened to me. I messed around with like 2 people in high school.
Right. This is naive. But I don't know why
now.
It is. Maybe we should try an open relationship. Maybe that would add some. Come on.
Yeah. Antoinette, I don't think you're that into this guy.
Spread your wings, girl.
Yeah.
Spread something. Well, I mean, listen, what else do you need to know? It's like I'm in perfect health. I'm not on any medications. I was never raped. I'm not going through any post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm with a guy, and I don't want to be intimate with him.
And I've been
him
for 3.5 years.
Yeah. What else do you need to know? You're not into the person. They're standing right there in front of you in their underpants, and you ain't into them.
Aria, 17.
Hello, Dr. Drew.
How are you?
How are you doing, Adam?
Good.
I just say that, Adam, you're the funniest man on radio today.
Oh, why, thank you.
And Dr. Drew, when I say you're the whitest man on radio, I mean that in a good way.
The whitest? Whitest?
The whitest, sir.
Whitest?
You're so funny, like, in, like, your eloquence and your artifice and the way you speak.
I'm keeping it real, yeah.
I saw his artifice in a airport in Cincinnati. It was huge.
That's always good. That's always a good thing. Hi, Melissa. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Grand.
And beautiful.
You old houser.
All right.
What's up?
Here's my predicament. Like, ever since, like, I was, like, you know, 13, 14, being attracted to girls, like, you know, rest of the gents out there. Like, whenever I had feelings for a girl and I would, like, share it with her, she'd always end up, like, you know, not wanting to speak with me, or, like, it'd just be, like, really weird.
Describe to us one of those incidences. Exactly how it went down, yeah.
Because
I think I have an expectation of how it went down.
Okay. Well, okay.
Describe, like, a traumatic one.
Okay, I can give an example of when a girl thought I liked her, and, like, you know, that same thing happened.
All right, go ahead.
Like, for instance, like, originally me and, like, two friends were supposed to go see a movie, right? And these two friends are feminine, and then, like, one of them dropped out, and I asked the other one, you know, you still want to go? You know, you don't want to be awkward? She's like, yeah, it's fine. So we went, and, you know, we went, and I would do, like, you know, gentlemanly things, like hold the door open for her, and, you know, just to compliment her, like, oh, you have a nice smile, stuff like that, right? And then, like, the next day, she got, like, this idea that, like, I was into her, and, like, she didn't want to speak with me. She didn't want to have anything to do with me. Like, body language was totally just, like, shutting me down and things like that.
All right. So
how old are you?
I'm 17.
Okay, and you're dating girls that are kind of your age?
Yeah.
Let me tell you a little something about 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds. We don't want you to like us.
Okay.
If you're too nice, like, really nice guys finish last.
Right.
If you start calling her all the time and you're like, oh, your smile's so pretty, oh, you smell so good, or your hair looks nice, that'll work, like, maybe a little bit. If you start being all smothering with it,
right,
we don't want that.
I see.
Yeah.
It's true. Girls really want abusive guys for some. Now, I'm not talking about physically abusive, like,
right,
you know, throw them down stairwells, but,
yeah,
you know, they want them to be indifferent, and they,
well,
they
like a light beating. We're not saying all that. We're talking about an open hand type of beating, not a fist type beating.
Oh, I like
beating.
To be hit over the head with a hammer.
Right, right. Okay.
Well, damn, bitch.
hold on. Monkey nipples, hold on a second, because this is the man talking now. I'm going to step in for a second. See, that's how you get tough with a woman.
Okay.
See, you just got excited, didn't you, Melissa?
Totally.
Until the pipe down, the man was going
to
step in and do his talking.
Totally. You have to be indifferent. You can't call a lot.
Different.
You do, because then we'll be like, why isn't he calling? We'll sit around with our girlfriends and talk about it.
Oh, you women are so great. I know. I mean, Melissa, Drew, could you imagine? And Drew, we've talked about this before, and we laugh our asses off. Imagine if you're a guy, and you're really hot for some chick, and you think she's hot, and you'd love to get in her pants, and you just want to be with her, and all of a sudden, she expresses a lot of interest in you, and you get turned off.
Let's
laugh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's men don't work like that.
I was really into Connie, but then she, like, kind of invited herself over Friday night to go hot tubbing, and it was like, ooh, get away. God damn, you women are such a pain in the ass. And here's the very sad part of this, and it's the truth. When you are 17 and you're a male, because this is something you learn later on in life, but at 17, you have no control over it. There are two feelings you have. You're either legitimately not into a woman, or you're into her. And either way, you have a difficult time disguising it. And when you're legitimately not into them, then all of a sudden they're into you. But when you're into them, you have to suppress that, and you don't have those skills at 17. You're too excited.
Right.
You're too naive. You can't hold it back. Now, when you get a little bit older and you get a little bit jaded and you get a few relationships under your belt and you get older, you realize, okay, I'm excited, but wait a minute, I'm going to keep my poker face and just keep it cool and not screw this one up. Plus, as women get older, they get a little more desperate, and they drop all that crap anyway. I don't know what it is. It's that, they're all the belle of the ball from 15 to 25, and then later on, Father Time comes around, and he's the great equalizer. He takes his magic cane and humbles all of them. It's great. So if you can wait long enough, there's a good future for you.
I see.
But you need to find yourself a woman who's into you and who you're into and who you don't freak on when you're into her.
Okay.
Can you do that?
I can try my best, but, like, can I ask Melissa a question?
Yeah.
Why do women feel the need to mess with us so much like that? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's an intentional, like,
well, yeah,
we're going to get them.
Not an intentional thing, but, like...
But we're weirdos. It's like, I don't want you calling me 24 hours a day. I don't want you complimenting me. That sometimes that grosses us out. I mean, we all have self-esteem issues or something. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you that it's absolutely normal. If you're like, oh, you have a pretty smile and this, that, and the other, she's going to be like, oh. Because, you know, the chase is not there.
Okay.
But you're going to, like, here's what you should do. Like, if you call a girl up on a Monday or a Tuesday and you ask her out on a date for Friday or Saturday,
right,
don't call her in between the date.
Yeah, don't do that.
So you call her up Tuesday night and you go, hey, Melissa, what's going on Saturday? Want to get together? And Melissa goes,
yeah.
Okay.
She sounds really excited, though.
But you got quite an acting career ahead of you, baby. You call Melissa, you go, want to go out Saturday?
And Melissa? I say, oh, sure.
That's right. And so I'll, pick you up about 8 o'clock?
Right, that'd be
cool. I'll tell you what. I'll give you a buzz. Saturday sometime in the afternoon, just to kind of pick a time, and I'll talk to you then. Okay.
Okay,
I'll see
great.
You Saturday. Right now, don't call her on Thursday and say you were just thinking of her.
Okay.
Right.
Wait till Saturday.
Right.
Around 5 or 6.
What?
So that she can worry the whole time, like, oh my God, I can't believe he's not coming. Then she'll freak out, she gets all queued up, and then you impress her by picking you up. Like, she's impressed with the fact that you even showed up, but that's what you were supposed to do. It's a good trick.
All right, well, now, hold on. Melissa, you're a little bit further over the edge than most women. You really are. And most women do like a compliment, but what they don't like is they don't like the guy to feel like he's clingy or needy.
Okay.
Okay? So, you ask her out for Saturday, you pick her up on Saturday, and when you pick her up, tell her she looks nice. But don't go over the top. Don't sniff her. Okay. I made that mistake for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. There.
Good all right,
luck. Good
you,
luck.
Happy hunting.
Thank you, man.
He'll never get anywhere.
This is Dylan is 22. Dylan?
Yeah, hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey.
Fantastic. I had one question, and that was, I was having sex with a girl I didn't really know earlier tonight. Like, I had just met her, actually. And I'd put a on it before I put a condom on.
Is that the condom custom? Is that common custom out here, Adam?
The C-ring?
Yeah. Is that something you do in the first aid?
Well, I like to put the C-ring over the condom to sort of, you know, help keep it on.
Ah.
I don't put it on first. That's my thing.
Exactly.
Does one have to?
It's the penis ring is actually a hair tie that you can use as a C-ring.
You mean like a ponytail tie?
Exactly.
Like just an elastic band.
Exactly.
When I'm doing my daughter's hair tomorrow morning, I'm going to have a very strange hair.
I got one of those things on right now. I snap it each time I want a cigarette.
It's just remember, yeah, right, not to smoke.
I had to throw it in because it's part of the question.
Did you purchase a lava lamp with that?
It's a little Loveline inside joke there. All right, so you put this thing on.
No inside jokes.
And now what?
Well,
what happened?
Unacceptable.
There we go. The condom broke,
mm-hmm.
And I noticed the condom broke. Oh, I mean, I was like pulling out because I felt like I was like at climax, so I was pulling out, and then I noticed that the condom broke,
mm-hmm.
And then I stopped immediately. I put my pants back on, went in the washroom, and like washed. And I'm just wondering, I mean, that you're going to be susceptible to something if the condom breaks, but if the penis ring, excuse me, would that lessen your chances of contracting something?
No. That doesn't do anything.
It wouldn't at all?
No, nor does getting up and washing yourself off, really. That's not thought to do anything either.
What the hell is that? It's like...
But yeah, very, very gentlemanly. I'm sure Walter Raleigh would have behaved just as
did you
the same
just say
manner.
This happened tonight?
Yeah.
Listen,
what?
If you got a rubber band around your wrist and you dip it in Duke, do you think you have any less chance of getting hepatitis?
Not exactly.
Well, I don't see what the ring... I mean, the fact that you've cut the blood circulation off to your Johnson, that's not going to do anything.
If it was, like, say, something bacterial, that, like, if you put, like, you know, hydrogen peroxide or something on it, would
no,
it
no,
it?
No, 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 no. Nope.
Drew, what about that? Anything at all?
Nope.
Why is that?
To the clinic.
Because it immediately penetrates the mucosa. That's it. It's a contact issue. Pow. Contact, that's it.
So it gets under the skin and that's it, or it gets in the urethra and that's it?
Yep.
It's not a topical thing.
It's not something that sits there and slowly penetrates.
How did you even think a scrunchie was going to help?
A scrunchie.
Oh, or whatever.
It's one of our
kind callers. Of what it does is it cuts the blood circulation down.
Right.
Well, it decreases the outflow.
Exactly.
Right. All right, so what if the outflows decrease, then the infection couldn't get into your body? What about that, Drew?
Well, first of all, how many of these STDs are sort of breaking into the bloodstream?
I mean,
they're just doing their thing right there locally, predominantly.
Right, okay.
And all HIV right. and hepatitis C ain't going to change a thing.
All right, so...
C-ring.
Why not? The blood can't get back into you.
For the moment. It's going back.
That's the point.
It's a courtesy that they give it at all, and they've elected to give it 24 hours before.
I'm just curious why that policy's in place. What would you do? Does anyone ever have a grievance? Do they say stop the presses?
Oh, we all have grievances, but it's like you just have to get over it because it's said and done, and it is in stone, you know?
Okay. Well, now I have a very clear answer to my question. Thank you.
This is
I know
Jen.
Exactly why they have the 24-hour policy. Now, at first, it didn't make sense.
Jen is 24. Jen?
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, this is my problem. I've been going out with a guy for about 9 months now, and we started having sex about 4 months into the relationship. And slowly this problem's developed where he has difficulty climaxing, and sometimes he can't even at all.
So initially that wasn't a problem, and then it slowly became a problem.
It happened pretty quickly. It started to happen pretty quickly.
And when you say he can't climax, does his erection go away?
No, he's perfectly fine. Like, he's hard and everything. He just can't climax sometimes. And he'll tell me, he'll be like, you know, sometimes that happens to me, and that's just the way I am. That's what he tells me.
No right. medication?
Huh?
Medication?
No.
What? You know for sure?
Do I know for sure?
That he's not on medication.
Yeah.
Drew, you understand you have to rephrase the entire question with our callers. You can't just start tacking things on.
Does switching condoms work?
Type of condom?
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the condom.
For some guys,
don't
I would
use
think.
Condoms.
They're not using condoms.
Oh, you don't use condoms at all?
Melissa finds that shocking.
You've only been dating for 9 months and you don't use condoms at all?
No.
Careful, Melissa. Hold back. She's going to have a panic attack here.
And you're for sure that he's not a drug user?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
You could still get that HPV and then get the cervical cancer. You should use condoms.
Oh, a meteor could land on you, too.
Well, now, wait a minute. We're all going to get the HPV. That's the way that works.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's increasing her risk by not using condoms.
That's
I'm a
true.
Big condom person.
Yes, that's good.
No
that's
kidding. What is it with you kids and these condoms?
It's really important. He could have AIDS. You never know.
All right. Well, okay.
Does he have any medical problems? That you're aware of?
Not that I can think of, no.
Right. Is he a heterosexual guy?
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right. He's not an IV drug user?
No, he's a very conservative
person.
Yeah.
He doesn't have AIDS then.
Well,
I know we all have exactly the same chance of getting AIDS, except for that's not the truth. It helps if you're gay, and it helps if you slam heroin. Uh-huh. It actually helps quite a bit. Anyway, you need to have a little talk with this guy and make sure he's, into the whole relationship.
Right.
You think he's into it?
I do, and I'm wondering if this is like a physical problem or something that might be damaging to him later on down the line. Dr. Drew, do you know anything?
What do you mean? That you're damaging him?
No, that this is like a physical... I mean, do men have this problem? Is this normal?
No, that's why I was going down the path of medication and medical issues.
No, but it does happen to a certain amount of guys, and you don't hear about them that often.
That's true.
And... certain guys go through certain periods where they have a little difficulty with this, and especially if they had a bad outing the time before, it's liable to happen the next time.
That
because there's a little emotional side of it, too.
Excessive masturbation is another way to get this.
How dare you?
And so you might...
How dare you attack my livelihood?
Well, that's true, and that's another way guys get this way.
Well, here's another interesting thing. Let's get to masturbation for a second. Does he masturbate?
I don't know. Like I said, he's really conservative. We don't talk about those kind of things very much.
Well, maybe he's a little uptight. Maybe he's a little freaked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I think you're right because it seems like the more it happens, the more it becomes an issue.
Right, right. That's
right.
The way it works.
Is he a religious guy?
No.
But he's just very conservative.
Yeah.
All right.
You should ask him if he masturbates, because if he's masturbating a million billion times a day, that could really
tell him to back off.
Be part of the problem.
Yeah.
All right, but let me counter that argument of my own, which is, no, listen up, though. Guys who whack off 4 or 5 times a day, they're used to squeezing one off 5 minutes after they came last. I mean, sometimes my belly's still wet and I pull another one off. You know what I mean? So I would say it's quite the contrary oftentimes.
Yeah, but they need the real thing, though.
This sounds to me more like a guy who's not doing it at all. He's conservative. He's a little uptight. I think he's got to, you know, crack a beer or have a bong load, start masturbating a little more, forget about Jesus, and just start getting into the sexing. And he's got to find his groove with her, because he's you know, they're not meshing.
Right, I agree with that.
All right, who's next?
All right, this is Becky, 23. Becky.
Hi.
Hi,
Dr. Drew. Hi, Becky. Adam.
Hi, Becky.
How's it going?
Good.
I'm having a problem, and it's that about a year ago I found out that my mom was having an affair.
How'd you find that out?
I had intuition. Like, I don't live with my parents, you know. I'm off and on my own and have my own life. But I've noticed that she's kind of withdrawn from family functions and stuff like that. And so I basically confronted my aunt, her sister, and I said, you know, is this happening? And my aunt told me yes.
Hmm. Did you know who it was, who the guy was?
Well, it turns out that...
Pool man?
Huh?
Not a guy.
Oh, no. It's not nothing like that weird.
Becky, are you holding back tears right now?
Yeah.
All right. I don't want you to hold them back. It's good radio if you can cry.
Thanks, Adam.
So just let it all hang out, baby.
It turns out that last year, actually before I even knew about it, that I went up to visit and we went out to lunch and, you know, this supposedly, you know, we bumped into one of her friends and, oh, come join us. We're having lunch. And it turned out to be him.
Who is this guy?
Someone she works with.
Nobody, no friend of the family or anything like
no,
that?
No.
Now, why is this so overwhelming for you? And I don't mean that in a condescending way. I mean, not that you should be happy about it.
What does it mean to you? Yeah. What does it
you're
mean?
An adult woman and you're very, very emotional about it.
Yeah. I would say it's because my dad has absolutely no clue.
Does he have a radio?
Huh? No. Are you kidding? They wouldn't be listening to that.
Yeah, he's a little out of our demo.
Adam, he would listen to this crap.
Probably Drew's age, huh?
Were your mom and dad having problems, like, in their relationship?
You know what? They don't really connect as much, and honestly, I think my dad's a little clueless on how to relate to my mom.
Yeah.
Has it always been that way?
Yeah, I'd say so.
So now, what is your dilemma? Do you feel like you should tell your dad?
Well, my dilemma is that I'm the youngest, and I'm pretty much bearing this all on my shoulders.
Why don't you talk to some of your siblings about it?
Because I know that they will confront my mom about it.
Well, that's up to them. You need some support.
Now, does your mom know that you know?
I've talked to my best friends and stuff like that, but... And they're great support and everything, but I just don't feel like I feel torn on what I should do, because I'm torn between, you know, this is not really my life.
Right.
You know, this is, I'm grown up.
Again,
I have my own life.
We're a little unclear, though, why it's so upsetting to you. Is it because you feel bad for how your dad is going to feel when he finds out?
Yeah, definitely.
That's the thing.
Because when you're... In a marriage, you share everything.
All right, but so that's the issue.
Listen, Drew doesn't tell his wife half the stuff that goes on.
So that's,
maybe I'm a little naive on that part. But this is, you know, you come home and you spill things to this other person. And then for that other person just to, like, have
this. All right, well, hold on. Now, slow down there, Becky. Did you say that you talked about this with your mom or just your aunt?
No.
Yeah.
Just your aunt.
They don't know.
If you want to give this an opportunity to begin healing, then you got to confront her about it a little bit.
Yeah,
otherwise,
why don't you
it's not
going to
change.
Start with your mom.
Yeah. But I would use one of your siblings. I would get some support from a sibling before I went into battle. And
Really?
Why should she have to bear this by herself? If the reason she doesn't want to tell the sibling is that because they might confront her, and if she's going to go and confront her anyway, she might as well take a sibling with her.
And the other thing is, like, I know she's going to be upset at, you know, she'll be upset with my aunt for, like, even telling me this.
Well, you know, the cop to that.
Well, you're going to have to.
Well,
how the hell is she going to find out?
Yeah, you know,
well,
you
she
know.
Goes right to the aunt. Come on. Drew, please. We're living in the real world here. That's right.
No pun intended.
That's right. Tuesday nights, everyone. 10 o'clock on TV. No. Okay. Listen, Becky.
Yeah.
This is the voice of reason speaking.
Okay.
As far as your aunt goes, you say to your mom, no, leave her out of this. I went to her and I told her I know something is going on. And basically came to her with the information. It's not like she came to you with the information.
Exactly.
She basically confirmed what you already knew.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, this whole get the posse of brothers and sisters going, I don't know. I got a sister. I have beefs with my parents. I never call her over. I just go talk to my parents.
Yeah, but Becky doesn't come from quite so...
Yeah, I know.
So fractured a family.
Her family's not as screwed up as mine.
Right.
I don't want my sister that. I don't want her stealing any of my thunder.
That's right.
I could get on a roll. I don't need the voice of reason chiming in when I'm yelling at my dad or my mom.
It's more that you don't want a sense of reality coming to bear.
That's
you want
right.
it all to be your parents' fault.
That's right. I'm good and drunk, and I don't want anyone screwing with my buzz.
It is. Yeah.
You, Becky needs to just go confront her. Just go talk to mom and tell mom, hey, either she knocks it off or she's going to tell dad.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that mom and dad need to go get some little therapy going here. Huh?
I don't think dad should ever find out.
But still, they can see a therapist. Anthony, 18.
Yes.
Yeah, what's going on?
Hi. I've been going out with this girl for about a month, and I've noticed some signs like that I think she's still with her ex. So I remember, like, one time I called over to her house, and he was there, and she said that him and his mom were, like, good friends, and I was just, like, wondering what you think.
That's the only piece of evidence you have?
Well, no, there were some other things, like today we went to the county fair, and there was a picture in her friend's car on the dash, and she said that was, like, you know, it was still sitting there. I asked, you know, what was it doing there, and she said, oh, that's just an old picture, and I was like, well, what is it still doing there? And she's like, I don't know.
A picture of her and her ex. In her friend's car?
Yeah.
How long was she with the guy?
I think 7 months.
How long was she with you?
About a month now.
Who dumped who in that last relationship?
She dumped him.
You sure?
No.
Yeah. But see, that's where the key
with.
Will be.
Yeah. But he doesn't know what he's dealing with. He's dating her a few weeks. She's still wrapped up with this old...
that's what I figured. I figured that she wasn't quite ready or whatever, like, to leave him.
How long ago did they break up?
She was real quick. She was off of him and onto me.
No, come on.
Pretty quick. It was within a few days.
Are you guys having sex?
No. We've been intimate and everything, but no sex, no.
Look, she's just passing time, Anthony.
Now, let me... Oh, well, hold on. Let's not be so cruel to young
Anthony.
I'm sure
there are a bunch of pretty girls at the county fair that you can hook up with.
Yeah, what about some of those hog calling chicks?
Oh.
You know, the shoo-wee!
A good yodeler.
No, that's all right.
The cotton candy lady.
No. Listen,
that
hold on. Hold on.
Time.
Anthony, I'm trying to get to the bottom of this one.
Yeah.
Did she break up with him because he cheated or broke her heart or did something horrible to her?
She said she broke with him because he didn't treat her like I did. You know, he was like always kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say mean to her, but you know, he was like, he didn't treat her like she should be treated.
Did you hear what Melissa said?
How old are you again?
18.
Okay, she wants the abusive one. You have to go get a new girl.
Melissa just finished lecturing everyone about that.
All right, well, I say give her a chance. I mean, he doesn't have anything conclusive yet. The friend had an old picture in her dash. It was the friend's car.
She's only a few... She was days off of this relationship. She wasn't even... She hasn't ended the other one yet. It takes months to get over that.
Okay, but she dumped him, and I don't... All I'm saying is I don't think the picture in the dash is much evidence.
Yeah, right. Well, because that's the point. She's still, as far as everyone else is concerned, no one else even understood that they've broken up yet.
Right. What the hell's her friend driving around with a picture? That's a prom picture in her dash.
Yeah.
Hey, Drew, remember that phase when you'd strap a bunch of stuff to your car? You know, hang your graduation tassel off your rear view.
You always have junk
lying around your car.
I never did
but
that.
But when you're younger, you treat your car like it's a goddamn scrapbook or something.
Yeah.
You got stuff in there.
Am I still a briefcase?
Well, that's true. Yeah, mine's more like a hamper.
Yeah.
Did that guy say you were the whitest guy he ever met?
Yeah, whitest.
He said a briefcase.
All right.
Riga Royal.
That's right.
How did I guess that?
Oh, man. And let me tell you something about Royal. You know what that Royal stands for? Royal Flush, baby.
Oh, that's right.
That is right. I came home to my throne in New York. Yes. I was on that pot 2 hours ago. My ass felt like a warm bagel on that thing. The Riga Royal. It is a, if any of you folks get a chance to get out to New York, you stay at that Riga Royal.
Well, tell them why.
Because they have toilet seats that are hot. Hot like a hot towel a small Japanese woman would hand you if you were sitting in first class.
That's just part of it.
That's just part of it. Then comes the jet of water right up the tukai. And I just sat there. I never enjoyed myself on the pot as much as I do at the Riga Royal. And for you ladies, they got the front shot, too. You know, when I get back to the hotel tonight, I may try that front shot just to see what happens.
Why would you want a warm seat?
Kind of gross.
Yeah. I don't like sitting on a seat after someone has and it's all warm.
Listen, you got some fat chick on there with syphilis and she's warmed it for you.
Or you
have heating coils in there. I mean, right?
I guess.
Yeah. No, it's wonderful.
Melissa's a little sensitive to body function issues, you see.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, if you're sensitive to body function issues, you should like the warm water, jet of water going in your ass. Do you enjoy that?
No.
You don't?
No, I'm very sensitive with the whole butt area.
Yeah, but don't you
want water shooting anywhere near there.
you don't want to be clean?
No, I do. I love being clean, but
so all right.
I'm not
well,
with
when
this
you...
newfangled technology of having all these things shoot around. Just, you know, wipe your butt. What's
the
problem?
She doesn't have the same.
All right, so you like to walk around with just a little Duke residue on there for the rest of the day?
She doesn't
just
have
to keep it real?
She doesn't have the same enchanted forest issue that
you
do.
Oh, stop it with the keep it real.
Yeah, I told Drew, wiping my ass is like trying to get peanut butter out of a shag carpet. It ain't going to work with just one wipe. No, you got to get down there with a brush and some nice hot water. I'm going right back to that toilet. I may sleep on that toilet tonight, Drew. All hour and a half I sleep tonight is going to be right on that Riga Royal toilet. I love that place. And one other little piece of business I want to attend to. Phone screener Danielle.
Yeah.
It is her last night
tonight.
It's her
swan song, yeah. We gave her a cake. You missed that. Another cake tonight.
Was it a cookie the size of a hubcap?
No, this time it was a carrot cake.
Oh, then now that's good cake. And a good cake for a good woman. This yes. Danielle's a gem.
Yes. She's smiling right now.
She has done a wonderful job the entire time she's been with us. Always a smile on her face. Great phone screening. Great with
Hard
everything.
Hardworking, yeah.
Oh, I am going to miss her. I really am.
Oh, here she comes. She's coming to say something back to
Danielle,
you.
Get on that. Can you get on that microphone, Danielle?
I'm going to miss you guys, too.
Is that you, baby?
Yeah.
That's me.
Oh, my little Jewish princess. I'm going to miss you so much.
Shirai.
I'll still come in and visit
Danielle?
You guys.
She's coming to visit. You can't hear her?
Wait, is she walking out to New York? No, I can't hear her.
No, he's not hearing her.
I'll come to visit you.
There she is. Oh, baby. I really think we could have had something.
No, I don't think all that's
Am I pushing too far? She was really an angel, and I'm really going to miss her. And please come back to the studio and visit us. And don't freak on me when I run into you drunk at the K-Rock Acoustic Christmas and can't remember your name.
I'll be pissed.
I know you will. I'll write it on my wrist before the concert. True, you know that happens, though. And it's not that you don't know the person's name. It's just they hit you.
It's out of context. Yeah.
Right. All right. I'm going to miss that.
You'll never forget me.
No, I will never, ever forget you as long as I live. I'm going to think about you when I'm on that heated toilet seat tonight. What do you say, huh?
She's so moved by the things you say to her, the poetic language and the
I know she's such a softie. I'm gonna give a little front squirt for you tonight, Danielle.
Be still my heart.
All right, who are we gonna talk to, Drew?
This is Sean. He's 17. Sean.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's up? Yeah, you know, like, I guess it's like when I was like in my mom's stomach or whatever, right? She had gallstones, and like, I guess like, I don't know, something happened, whatever, and like. She said that
Sean, you pre-med, buddy?
He said in her stomach.
She said that, like, when I came out, I guess my...
He meant gut.
...GP hole was crooked or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I guess they couldn't circumcise me or whatever, and I guess, I don't know. And, like, I remember, like, not too long ago, someone was telling me I can get cancer if, like, it's not cleaned very well or something.
Not really.
No? Yeah,
listen, around the world, most men are not circumcised.
Yeah.
Right? Just this country where they get the...
And look how crappy all those other countries are.
And, like, so, like, I can get it circumcised, like, while I'm older, right?
Sure. It's a lot more painful, but you can sure do it.
Like, how much more painful?
A lot.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, your whole thigh area will be bruised.
Whoa.
Most of
it, Drew, is it more painful, or do you just not remember things that happened to you when you're a month
old? It's more painful.
Why? How do you know?
Just more traumatizing. Like, tonsils are easier when you're under 10. It's awful when you're over 20.
Is it that your nervous system is more developed as you get older?
I think the amount of tissue trauma. I mean, just a lot more stuff gets affected.
Right. Well, listen, just keep your junk clean and don't worry about your mom and her gut and her gallstones and all that stuff. All right, who's next?
Hang on a second. Let's see. Let's talk to Dave, 27. Dave?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Dave.
Good to be on the show. Often you guys talk about... the stench of desperation. And yes. I'm 27, and I've...
Reeking.
Say that again?
Nothing.
I've never had a girlfriend or a long relationship more than, like, 2 weeks.
Right.
And so I know that I need to somehow get rid of that, but is there any way of just covering it up?
No. Women are... They're like those dogs at the airport. They sniff everything right out. You could pack yourself in coffee grounds. They'd smell that desperation coming right through your clothing.
Is it you that can't commit? What do you mean? What do you mean?
Well, no, it's not. I don't. I mean, I know it's me, but I don't want to say that it's me. It's just that, you know, for some reason, women just lose interest in me after a couple of dates.
Okay, here's the deal, Dave. I'm sorry for you, but not really. Because we only got a few seconds left. I'm going to tell you what to do.
Right.
And I'm sure you'll agree with me on this one, Melissa. Dave, you need to get into your own S. Get real good at something. Get real successful at something. Focus on your own life. Working out, your job, your spirituality, whatever it is, music, your hobbies, your life. Get into you. And don't try to convince other people to like you. Just get into your own thing. And when women see you doing your own thing and being real successful at it, they'll magically be drawn to you, and then you'll have a lot more confidence when they come around.
Good advice. Now, you get good at your job, and let's go to commercial.
All right. We'll be back after this. Hey, it is Love Line. I'm Dr. Drew. Adam, unfortunately, he really could not wait to get back to that pot, the Regal Royal. Yeah, he just bonded, but this guy just absolutely skedaddled out of that studio and just told me to just close it up myself. But Melissa Howard from Real World, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
People can see you on tour.
Yeah, right? College tours. I might be at your university. You never know.
Anything else they can check out on?
PrincessMelissa.com.
Okay.
Which is, we're working on it. Real World, and that's all I know of so far. And shopping on Melrose, maybe.
Well, thank you for coming in and sharing with us. And Danielle, God bless you for a great run with us. This show, we say goodbye to a lot of people, don't we? It's so sad. But this is one of the saddest. So, but we'll see more of you as we go along here. We will not lose track of you. We just won't remember your name at the Acoustic Christmas and all.
How's that for suck?
That's right. So, this is Drew, on behalf of Adam, who has planted himself on his automated water shooting toilet. On his behalf, and as homage to him, as Dr. Drew is saying, mahalo.
Goodbye.